It's over. We're going to have a biscuit breakfast, and there'll be several different varieties for you to choose from, and then we'll have our regular morning service. But we're glad all of you are here this morning, and that's included. We have a guest. I don't know whether we should put a saddle on it or he crawled out just as the service was about to start. So we need to talk to our bug man. Okay. But anyway, we're so glad to have all of you here, and thank you for coming. We've got some visitors. We're glad to have you here too this morning. So thank you so much for being here. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our morning service. We're meeting early this morning, early for us. We normally start at 11, and Sunday school, Bobby starts early. He starts at 9:30, but 9 o'clock is a little early. And I'd like to share a verse with you, a verse that is the theme for us as Christians, Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. That's why we're here this morning, Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Two women went to the tomb to take care of the body of Jesus. And when they got there, the tomb was open. And there was an angel sitting on the place where Christ had been. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay." And that is our celebration this morning, folks, is the fact that he is risen. He's alive today. He's living in our hearts. He's living in our lives. He's there to help us. This is Easter morning, and we are meeting in church for an early service. Why do we do this? I'd like for us to go back and give God the glory and the credit for having planned things for us before we even existed. If we go back in time, we go back to the time of the creation, when God made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. To do this, he had to sacrifice animals and shed their blood to get their skins. And the shedding of that blood was the remission of the sin and the forgiveness of the sin for Adam and Eve. So from the very beginning, God had a plan for all of us. And we are all, each one of us can be subject to availing ourselves of that plan. The whole world can, because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. But God took care of Adam and Eve. He did a similar thing for each one of us when he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Jesus left heaven and God to come to earth to live a sinless life and to die upon the cross for your and my sins. Jesus did that out of love. God planned that before there was a heaven or an earth, because God saw that we were going to be sinners, that we were going to violate his laws, his will. And God saw that we were going to need some kind of someone to interpose or interject between us and God. And Jesus Christ was that one. But that was not enough. And today, we celebrate the fact that after Jesus shed his blood for our sins, God raised him from the dead the third day, and this is the third day that we celebrate. That is why we're here to celebrate this morning, God's gift to both of us. to all of us. God showed the Israelites what he would eventually do in the sin sacrifice. Though his servant Moses ascended Mount Sinai, where he received the law and the instructions from God for about the tabernacle and the sacrifices. One of the sacrifices was a sin offering, which became the foreshadow of Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary for our sin. We gather here today as brothers and sisters in Christ because there was a time when each of us believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as our personal Savior. And if you have not done that until this very moment, you can do that right now. You can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior where you are sitting, or you can come to the front here and say, Brother Ken, I need Jesus as my Savior, and we will pray and see that that takes place in your life. Is there anybody here? You can just put your hand up. I need Jesus as my Savior. Okay, I'm going to assume that everybody already knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So, God very clearly told us in the Bible that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we would be saved. And he will not reject anyone. He has never rejected anyone. You come to him and you say, I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. And God will do that. And your life will be changed. You will be given a new soul, a new life. And so, Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning to celebrate. If you've done that, and I assume that you have received your salvation from God. And this morning, you're not here just to go to church. You're here to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was he risen again from the dead, but a few days later, and we'll get into that in the next service, but a few days later, he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for each one of you. You have a problem, you have a need, God will intercede because Jesus Christ is there. See, Father, that person needs you. He needs help, and he will give that help to you. He will provide for you. We're here this morning because, like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we're come to the place early where Jesus had been buried, and they found that he was not there. In their day, it was an empty tomb. In our day, it's a place where other believers gather to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We rejoice throughout the year, but this day is special because we celebrate his resurrection this day. There is not another faith anywhere in the world that celebrates the resurrection of their founder. Their founders are all dead. And we want the whole world to know that he lives. He lives. He's alive this morning. Jesus Christ is alive today, and he's ready to save anybody who will call on him or call on his name. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says he won't save you if you will just call out to him to be saved. Here's the reason that God would say to you, I love you. I've sent my son this day to save you. Today is Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And we are going to be looking at verses that deal with the resurrection. I would like to start with a verse that is filled with power for the believer. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. This was Paul writing to the Philippian church. And I think this is the desire of all of us. Paul writing to the Philippians church says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Our doctrine is the only religion or belief in the world that teaches that our Lord is alive and waiting for us to receive him as our Savior. We have the promise of the resurrection of our bodies when we die. Let's look at that promise. We find it in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. Revelation 20. It's going to be sort of like a sword drill this morning. You're going to be hitting a lot of different places in the Bible. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall about the resurrection be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You see that those who died for the witness of the word of God were there, that they lived and reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years. And if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will be there for 1,000 years when he comes back. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. You will have a part in that first resurrection. You have God's word on it. Today we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead, just as he said he would. Let's look at the promise to his disciples. John 11, 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that is a promise that we all have today. Death has no fear for us, because it's not going to impose itself upon us. We are going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. The very same day Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, demonstrating that he had the power to do that for the believer, Jesus doesn't come back for his church before we are called home in death. If he does not come back before we are called home, like Lacey, Iris, Jimmy, Connie, and all the others, what we need to do is understand that there will be a day when we will all be together again. There, right now, they are with the Lord. They're in heaven with him, waiting for us to come join them, waiting for us to be a part of that. Come on in, brother. Now we need to understand what Jesus told the Sadducees in Matthew 22, 30. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection, then neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. We will have new relationships with our loved ones. We're going to be the bride of Jesus, and we will be a part of the bride. Jesus is not a bigamist. He will have only one bride, and that will be the universal church, all of those who have been saved down through history. So we celebrate Easter because it is the promise of an eternal, perfect relationship with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful experience to know that Jesus as my personal Savior, as your personal Savior. You and I have a privilege. We can look back and see the preparations that God made for you and me. He loves you, and He wants to spend eternity with you. I have celebrated 80 Easters. I was too young to celebrate four of them before that. To begin with, my celebration was about Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. But when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that changed. And so today, we celebrate Jesus. And He's the only one we have to celebrate. Now, if Jesus comes back before we die, then we will come back to this earth after 7 years of tribulation, and we will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. And when we will go, then we will go to the new heaven and live with Jesus forever. Easter is just a brief reminder of what is coming in the future for the believer. It's a time to celebrate life. And I wonder what the people of the world who do not know Jesus celebrate today. They've never heard of Jesus. And most of them have never heard of Him. I know that. Thank you for reminding me to put my phone down. At least it didn't go off yet. Okay. Easter is just a reminder of what is waiting for the believer. It's a time to celebrate life. And I wonder what the people of Easter of the world celebrate at Easter time. Could their God be a chocolate bunny or a duck? Could their Easter eggs be the jewels that they decorate with? Jesus spoke about two different resurrections. Let's look at what He said, because this is important, folks. We find it in John 5, 28 and 29, actually. John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Folks, there are going to be two resurrections. Which one will involve you? The resurrection to life or the resurrection of damnation? How about your loved ones? How about your loved ones? Which resurrection will they support? Which resurrection will they be involved in? There is no time. I believe time is getting short. And there is no time for us to not get involved with our loved one. If you have a loved one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, plead with them. Plead with them. Beg them to trust Him as their personal Savior. You can't do it for them. They're going to have to do it themselves. You live a life that will make them understand and see that you are living without fear, that you are living in the love of God, and they can too. And that's what Easter is all about, is a reminder for the whole world. So most of them don't celebrate Easter. Connie and I, when we were living in Turkey, we didn't celebrate Christmas, we didn't celebrate Easter, because those are Christian holidays. And those days were just another day to the people of that nation. And when we would tell them, Christmas Eve, I had a young college man whom I had led to the Lord, his name was Yelchin. He brought 10 other men to my house that night. And I said, well, you know, tomorrow is a holiday for us. And he said, yes, we have heard that. Can you tell us about that? And so I passed out Turkish New Testament to all of them. And I just happened to have some of those available. And we sat in my living room, and I told them the Christmas story. But I didn't stop there, folks. I went on to eat. And none of them made decisions that night, but they got the information that they needed so that later on they could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what Easter's all about. Easter is a time of life. It is a time, it's not a time of death, it is a time of life. And so it's a reminder of what is coming for the believer. It's a time to celebrate life. Let's look at what Jesus said. We'll find it in John 5:29. I know I've just read it, 5:29, 8:29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Remember, there will be two resurrections, resurrection to the good and a resurrection for the damned. Which resurrection will your loved ones be in? Will they be in the resurrection to life, or will they be in the resurrection to damnation? We each may have a say in which resurrection they experience. You will have a say. Live your life for them by trusting Jesus Christ and serving Jesus as your personal Savior. What direction, I have a question, what direction does your testimony push your loved ones? Which direction? Are they going to want to know Jesus, or do they want not to have anything to do with him? We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Which resurrection will your loved one celebrate? I want to give you a short synopsis of how a person gets saved, because a lot of people, they don't really know how to tell someone, or they're afraid to try to tell someone. There was a day when you realized that you were a sinner, that you had sin in your heart. Now, what do you do? Do good works? You can't do that. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. So you cannot work your way into heaven. Can you buy your way in? No. How much is a sin worth? We don't have enough money to do that. So there was a day when you realized that you were a sinner. I didn't know quite what to do with that. Nobody had told me about Jesus yet. So when I realized that I was a sinner, I asked God to forgive me. I pleaded with God, but I wasn't asking because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was asking God directly. And I did not find salvation that way. It was when someone told me that Jesus had come, being born of a virgin, as Isaiah 14:7, 7:14, said that he would give a sign. Behold, a virgin would conceive and bear a son. He was that son, Jesus. And so Jesus was born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. He lived 30 years sinlessly, serving his God. And at the end of that 30 years, 33 years, actually, 3 years of ministry to the world, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, at the end of that 33 years, because he was as good as he was, they crucified. They put him to death, and he died for your sins, he died for my sins. God will never reject you. He will never reject your loved one. If your loved one calls out to God, knowing that Jesus died for his sin or her sins, and calls out to God to be saved, God will save them. So we're told in Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 13 says that we shall be saved who will call upon the name of Jesus. And so, folks, this morning, when you return to your home and you talk to your loved one, share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. Share with them Jesus. Give them a chance to know Jesus Christ. Same thing with your friends. And one day, that child is going to want Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if their mother knows him. And so we're just so grateful. It's fine to have a baby crying in our services. We don't mind it at all. All right? So we're glad to have you here this morning. I want to open up the floor for testimonies. Do any of you have a testimony that you would care to share with us of how Jesus has affected your life? Yes, Sandra. You have to speak up. All right. isn't he a good Lord? Isn't he a good Lord? He loves us. He loves each one of us. He loves you. No matter what you're going through, he loves you. And that's what we celebrate today. We're celebrating his resurrection. Because he rose, he is able to love you. He is able to help you. He is able to be a comfort to you. God has sent his Holy Spirit to each one of us who know Jesus as our Savior. The instant we've believed, the Holy Spirit indwelled our soul. He is living there. He's there to help you. And he wants to help you, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our whole life is all about. So this morning we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because he rose from the dead. And so praise the Lord for that. Praise God for raising him. Yes, go ahead. Amen. 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 All right. Anybody else? All right. We're going to go ahead and close this service. If you will go straight down the hallway, we're having a biscuit breakfast this morning for everybody. And so you help yourself to whatever kind of biscuit you like. And we'll meet in the fireside room. Just go on down that way, and we'll pray when we get down there. But let's go ahead and close this service. Do you have one hymn? Let's close this service with a hymn, and then I'll pray and dismiss us.